huge celebration, and it is what? Right. So have you guys ever been to like any of the parades in Goldendale? Yeah, or the Rose Parade? Has anybody been to the Rose Parade? Huge parade.
What is that?
Rose Parade's a huge parade in Portland. Like lots of floats and queens and bands and queens. No, like
rodeo
queens. I couldn't think. Yes, but like here, so in our parade, a lot of times we have floats and cool stuff, and sometimes we throw candy out. But in Jesus' time, they didn't have floats and they didn't have cars
or
probably candy to throw out and get excited for the celebration. So they had palm branches was one way to celebrate. And so they used those. So people came from miles around and waited hours like to get the perfect spot. Like they wanted to, you know, like when you want to get front row so you can see everything going by. They wanted to be there. So they waited a long time. And in the Bible it says that Jesus told the disciples to go and get a donkey. Well, that was kind of the float for Jesus. And because he, even though he was a king, people thought he was a king, and he was going to have this big horse, but Jesus was not like that. He wanted something simple and plain to say, you know, he was one of us. Yes.
Did the donkey have a name?
I don't know if the donkey had a name.
Well,
I will just call it donkey, yes. So instead of a saddle, they used a cloak, which is like a cape, and they put it on the donkey, and people wore cloaks. And so Jesus went on that and came into Jerusalem. And so as he came in, people were waving their palm branches like you guys did. They were putting cloaks on the ground and like honoring and celebrating Jesus. And it was just, they knew that he was special and that he was the Messiah. So even though we know a few days later after Jesus came in to Jerusalem, we knew that he was going to be killed. But we also know that he's going to be risen again, like which is next week, Easter. So we have something to look forward to. So today we celebrate Jesus' life, we celebrate his death, and we celebrate that he rose again. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to us, and thank you that he is our friend. And please be with these kids this week and keep them safe and healthy and strong, and know that they are always loved. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Alice, for palm branches.
Yes.
For organizing that today.
You made it.
And then I forgot the birthday box. Again, are there any birthdays? I completely forgot. Really, this needs to go to somebody who can remember. All right, I'll set it right here. I just did a sweep to catch it up. All right. I'm so glad that Carrie shared that story. It's a short story, and I think one of the things that always surprises me is how quickly people went from, you're amazing, to kill him. You know, it's such a short journey, isn't it? Sometimes from being on top of the world to, especially don't we notice that in today's culture, you know, one minute you're the darling of the media and then, you know, 2 days later, look out. But we concentrate kind of talking about, we focus this time of year on that last little bit of Jesus' life. And we started last week talking about this last conversation he has with the disciples. They've had Passover, they've celebrated it together. They are in the upper room, and Jesus just begins a conversation with them. He's let Judas go to do what he's going to do, and they start a conversation. And it says that part of the way they got up, and he said, come, let's go, and they start walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane, which was a place that Jesus liked to go to. He went to it often. And they start walking there, and they walk through the Kidron Valley. And it's amazing when he's talking about, I am the vine, and you are the branches. They believed that there were vineyards there. And they would have been walking through those, and it would have been, you know, something that the disciples, you know, the people then were very familiar, like we are with vineyards around. They were too, and they would have been walking and talking together. And that's the conversation that we're focusing on, this last conversation he has with them before he's arrested. You know, before I go, I know I have to leave, Okay, what do I need you to know? You've been part of a project, you've worked on a team, maybe you were the team leader, and you know you have to leave. You have to move. Maybe something's come up and you have to leave, and you think, okay, before I go, what are the things that these people need to know to carry on the work? You know that there's qualified team members who can carry on. They believe in the goal. They value the same things that you do. You've bought in. If you're the left behind leader, you've bought into this mission with your whole heart. How do we do transition? How do we remind ourselves what's important? And if you ever need an example of what to do, John 14 through 17 is an amazing example of someone empowering a team, refocusing a team and saying, all right, here we go, you can do this. I think he wants to give them encouragement. He wants to give them strength, instructions, reminders, everything he can push into them in those last couple of hours. Don't forget. Sometimes this process is recasting a vision. You get midway through a project, or things get hard in a project, and it's always valuable to stop, sit everybody back down and say, okay, what are we really about here? How many staff meetings does Kristen say that to us? What are we here to do? We're here to educate children. Okay, that's our big goal. You know, are we moving in the right direction? Have we got excited about something over here and we've kind of lost our focus? How are we going to maintain that primary objective? How are we going to keep going? What are the essential things we need to hang on to? And this becomes especially important when things get hard, when things get tough, when things start to look bleak, when hope is kind of slim on the ground. And Jesus is well aware that in a few hours, the disciples are going to feel alone, they're going to feel afraid, they're going to be overwhelmed with despair and grief because they don't know the rest of the story yet, do they? He's been saying all along, I'm going to rise again, but they don't really grasp what that means. And they're going to feel despondent. So he takes this time to remind them of what they've learned over the past 3 years of walking together. And last week, we pulled out four things. We talked about Jesus saying to them, if you've seen me, you've seen God. I am here doing exactly what God would do. You ever wondered what would God do in this situation? What did Jesus do? Jesus exactly represented God. Emmanuel, God with us, God with skin on, here on earth. He said, do you love me? Obey me. If you love me, obey my commandments. Follow me. Do you believe in me? The Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to fill you up and get you through. Do you want to bear fruit for me? You need to remain in me. We finished up with that last week. Being always precedes doing. Abiding with Jesus precedes me being busy for Jesus. Who I am is more important. Whose I am is more important than all that I can do for him. I am his child. Jesus keeps saying throughout these four chapters, through three of the chapters, he keeps saying to them, I've told you this. And he keeps using that phrase again and again. I've told you this before it happens. Part of it, he's giving him a preview. Before it happens, so you'll believe me when it does happen. That's a bit, just watch, because it's going to happen. Sure enough, they were right. And Jesus is saying, I'm telling you now what's going to happen, so you'll believe me later. I've told you this so that you'll be filled with joy. Joy is internal. Joy is not dependent on external circumstances. Happiness can come from external circumstances. Joy is what I have inside. I've told you this, he says, because you're my friends. I've told you this so you won't fall away. He tells them that right now. I know it's going to get tough. I'm telling you all of this right now so you don't lose heart. I'm telling you this, I told you all this so you can have peace in me. And if you haven't had a chance to read those four chapters, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. I would urge you, take time this week and read those four chapters and read what Jesus has to say to them. He loves these men. They've walked together for 3 years, every day. They ate together, they talked together, they walked together, they healed people together. And he gathers them all around. These people that he loves. You ever had a chance to do that? Gather around the people that you love and be close to them, and you know you have to leave. What does he want them to know? What are a few other things? He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. John 14, verse 27. I'm leaving you with a gift, he says. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like what the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. The peace, that Jewish word was quietness, rest, wholeness. It meant holistically, all of you, all the essential parts together, and restful and quiet. Not troubled or afraid, not feeling cowardly or fearful or timid. My peace inside you is going to help you there. 16:33, I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I've overcome the world, he says in 16:33. In other words, I'm getting you ready. Don't let what happens around you in life shake the faith that's in you. I'm giving you a gift. Hang on to that peace. Let it be the rock, the steadying point, when the rest of it gets all out of kilter, because it will. It's coming. He also reminds them that he's chosen them. I've chosen you. He says, John 15:16. You didn't choose me, he says. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last. Isn't it wonderful to be told by somebody that's your leader that you value, that they chose you for this task, for this position, this mission? They believed in your value. They believe in your ability to grow and your skills and your talent. They believe you can help make the team a success. Doesn't it encourage you to hear the words, you are absolutely wanted. I chose you. I wanted you here. He goes on to say in 14:15, you're my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. You are my friends because I have told you everything the Father told me. Here we go. One of the greatest gifts we give people is our gift of encouragement with our words, written or spoken. We gather them together. Do we take the time to tell people how much we value and appreciate them, how much we believe in them? And Jesus did, and I think it's almost like the greatest locker room speech ever, isn't it? All right, come on, gather around. I know this is going to be a hard game. I know the team we're facing is tough. There's going to be times when you want to quit. There's going to be times when you don't see the value in what we're doing, but don't give up. And he's honest with them. There's no rose-colored picture here, is there? It isn't all flowers and hearts. I'm telling you this now because in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to be miserable. But don't give up. I'm with you. Jesus gathers them together, he gives them this, and those 12 men went out and changed the world forever. 11 of them died hideous deaths. They encounter all kinds of opposition, and they don't give up, and they don't walk away, they stay with him. As wonderful as all those words are, and they were, Jesus takes it one step farther. He begins praying for them. With them in the presence of his Father. And there's something amazing about having someone pray for you out loud in front of you. It's humbling. It's encouraging. It can bring hope and it can calm fears. And that's what he does. John chapter 17 records Jesus' prayers, his prayer for his disciples. In verse 21, he says, and all who will ever believe in me because of what these men do here. So when he prays for them, he's praying for you as well. There's that song that when he was in the garden praying, he was thinking of you. He's thinking of us. And he begins to pray. And it's a prayer for love and for unity, for them to know that and experience it deep inside them. He pulls them together. All right, I'm in my Father's in me, I'm in you, the Father's in you. We're all in this together. You believe in me, it all keeps flowing. The glory that I have from my Father to me, to you, back to the Father. We're a team. They're standing around him listening. It's a cool, dim evening, and he looks to heaven and begins to pray. And I wonder how often this moment came to their minds in the following days, in the following months. Some didn't even make it years of their lives. Do you have a moment that's kind of frozen in your mind of something wonderful? Sometimes we have something tragic that's happened to six, but what about those moments that were wonderful? Can we hang on to them? Do we try and put them into our memory so we can go back and remember something wonderful? Did they play that tape over and over again of what he said in their minds? I'd love to say I have some brilliant insights about what he has to say here, but I think his words speak for themselves, and they're all that's needed here. Instead, what I want you to do is to imagine for just a moment that you're in that garden. It's nighttime. It's cool. It's dark. There's not a lot of light. We know it's not a lot of light because when Judas comes to betray him, he has to go kiss Jesus so they know which person to arrest. It's dark. It's quiet. And the man that you've been following day after day for 3 years looks up to heaven and says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on this earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Wouldn't you love someone to say that to God about you? God, Brian has kept your word. What if Jesus was standing here saying that about you? He goes on. Now they know everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me. Did he point to them? Those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me so they can bring me glory. Now I'm departing this world. Did you even wonder what that meant? Now I'm departing this world. They are staying in this world, but I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction as foretold by scriptures. Now I'm coming to you. It's a little personal here. Now Jesus is just talking to God. Now I'm coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them in this world so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. What does he want? I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one. We can be one. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. I skipped a verse. This one was important. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know you sent me. Deep breath, ready? And that you love them as much as you love me. Did you know God loves you as much as he loves Jesus? He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. It's the end. He knows this is it. I don't know that Jesus knew every single thing that was ever going to happen. I don't really believe that he knew every single event that was going to take place. But he knew what was ahead. They call it Good Friday. That's Good Friday because we're saved. It's coming. I'm not sure he felt like Good Friday as he faced that day. But he knows he's leaving. He says, all right, come on, gather around. What's really important? What do you need to know? I love you. Your Father loves you, and I want you to be unified. We spend a lot of time talking about that here. We love each other. The world will know who you are by your love for one another, Jesus says. I want to pray over you. And he does that. Can you imagine he raised his hands and was talking to the Father that he loves so much, looking at them as he prayed for them? It's the last thing he does before he's arrested. I went to a service once that they did on a Friday. It was the most sad, depressing, hard service I'd ever been to on a Friday. And I left there and I was like, well, I don't want to go to that one again. And then they had a service on Sunday. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We come into a week where there starts a celebration, comes to deep, deep, deep despair. And then ends on Sunday. With the resurrection. I hope that this week, as you think about it, because it's all around us this week, reminders of what time of year this is, that you remember that Jesus stood before his Father and prayed for you, specifically, in that prayer. And his prayer was that you would know the love of your Father, and that you would be full of love and unity for each other. And that Sunday's coming. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the time, having the heart to come and save us, to leave a place that's so wonderful we can't even imagine it, to come and live in a miserable place that earth can be sometimes. Thank you for coming with the express purpose of showing love and then dying. Thank you that you were raised again. Lord, we know that we're only here today because of your sacrifice. And we give you praise and honor. May this be a week where we remember what you've done for us and that we celebrate your resurrection. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Would you be standing? I pray that this week you will feel that peace inside you that only comes from your Heavenly Father. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.